With less than a fortnight to the general election, our news is full of stories about each of the political parties and their leaders. I find myself more and more frustrated by journalists' desire to focus on the leaders and less on the policies, with a growing sense that we're buying into an American-style system that does not fit upon our understanding of government. While I might like or dislike some of the leaders, I don't really care whether or not Nigel Farage will drink beer down the pub where Nicola Sturgeon buys her knickers, how many children like David Cameron, or the desire for hen parties to have their photographs taken with Ed Miliband, or how unlikable Nick Clegg was on The Last Leg on Channel 4. Instead, like many others, I want to know which of the parties will ensure that the National Health Service continues to offer free care at the point of entry to the system? Which of them will ensure that all people have the kind of education that best equips them to play their part in the world in which we live? Which of them will recognise that we're part of a global community with responsibility to ensure that all people are afforded basic human rights? I'm not on a party political broadcast, so I'm going to stop there. For you will have more, and some will be very different. However, whenever we get round to placing the cross in a box, and I hope that you do, we do so in the hope we're able to do so believing that the party to whom we finally affiliate ourselves will bear the name of the responsibility we place in them. That simple symbol suggests that we are prepared to empower a political party to act in our name, to carry out some of the hopes and ideals we have for the next 5 years, if not beyond. Whether or not we recognise it in a very simple way, we continue an ancient belief that knowing someone's name and acting in that name invests the person who speaks or acts in that name with the power of the name. We vaguely suggest it when we say daft things like, "Do you know who I am?" because of your name and your role, they're full of power. Or when we suggest that particular roles within an organisation carry certain powers and responsibilities that no others can hold. It's that ancient belief in the power of names that's found in our reading from the book of Acts this morning. Joining a longer story partway through, we miss out why Peter and John find themselves before the Sanhedrin. So for a recap, they'd been arrested for healing a crippled beggar, and then because they were speaking to those who were watching about how such a miracle had taken place. We're offered an opportunity to meet Annas and Caiaphas again, having last met them as they tried Jesus before sending him to Pilate. Here they question Peter and John about how they were able to perform such a miracle. As they ask, in what name had this miracle happened, we encounter the ancient Near Eastern belief that names held a power. In an article by Lauren James called The Power of Names, she speaks of the commonly held historic concept that knowing a name gave someone power over someone or something. The article suggests that that belief is embedded in Scripture in the beginning in the book of Genesis. We see it as the divine spirit names the elements of creation and then allows humanity the ability to name the animals. By allowing humanity to name the animals, the suggestion is that humanity is given dominion, power over the animals. However, throughout the Old Testament, the divine presence is elusive in the delivery of his name. Instead, the understanding for those who seek to know the divine revolves around the verb to be. There's an underlying suggestion that should the name of the Lord, of Yahweh, of Jehovah be claimed by humanity, that in some way that would mean that humanity had a hold or power over the divine presence. In the story of the gospel, the unthinkable happens. It's a heresy to the Jews, and God reveals his name in the living presence of Jesus Christ, offering direct access to the divine. Then, in this meeting of Peter and John with the Sanhedrin, Peter names the character of the Holy One in the power of Jesus Christ. We are to understand, the crowd are to understand, the Sanhedrin are to understand, that whenever a miracle is performed in the name of Jesus Christ, then they're performed by him, through God. The idea that knowing and using a name allows the inherent character of a person or divinity to be transferred to another, and the skills and talents used by another, still has some merit within our Christian understanding of faith today. We carry echoes of that ancient belief here in our worship, because in our prayers, and maybe even in our service, we act in the name of Jesus Christ. We allow his presence to transform all that we have been asked and all that we might do. We bring the power of God into the ordinary activity of our living. The fourth Sunday in Easter is commonly known as Good Shepherd Sunday, as no matter what the year, the readings for today focus on the shepherding role of Jesus in our lives of faith. In using that name of shepherd, we invest Jesus with the power and the qualities we expect of the very best of shepherds. A leader who will search out the safest route through dangerous causeways. Someone who's prepared to take risks to keep the flock safe. Someone who recognises the value of the flock, even at the cost of their own life. In naming Jesus with these qualities, we allow his presence in our lives to transform some of the most difficult aspects of how we face life. By naming Jesus with these qualities, we allow his presence to suggest ways in which we as a larger community, whether that be the church or the world, might respond to the direction being offered. I wonder if when it comes to facing the responsibilities we have as an electorate, if there is a need to understand the power of knowing a name and allowing that knowledge to bring power and responsibility to bear. If we are to fully understand what each name means, then we have to divest them of the images we're being offered by media and parties, and instead search deeper for the qualities and promises that will empower individuals and communities to live ambitious lives. In facing the decisions that lie ahead, we should not be interested in Nigel or Nicola or David or Ed or Nick, but in the policies and politics that name hope, trust, charity, compassion, justice, and allow the power of these names, these priorities, to bring the presence of our living faith in Jesus Christ into the world in which we live. Amen.